Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How y'all doing? My name is Kevin Griffith, and you're now tuning in to my podcast, True Story. This is the beginning of something great, something amazing for me, something a new start, something that I'm going to commit to. Because, you know, we all procrastinate on some things that, you know, we want to do, or some things that we want to jump to do, and we get so excited and so motivated about doing it, but then when that crunch time comes, we lose that motivation. But this is something that I'm passionate about, helping people and trying to give people my life story and others' life stories and how they came about and surpassed those depressions, those dark moments, you know, because mainly what I'm focused towards is like what I hope for my audience to be, where I'm really aiming towards everybody, because everybody deals with depression, whether it's small or big, PTSD, bipolar, ADHD, anxiety. You know, my podcast is going to be about, you know, real life stories of people who dealt with those on their everyday life and the things that they do to cope with it, what helps them to continue to live a normal life. But I mean, let's face it, 2020 hasn't really been that normal for us at all. Like, it's crazy, you know. Rest in peace to Kobe, Nipsey Hussle, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, man. Rest in peace to you. It's been a tough year, but you know what? We're all gonna pull through it. You know, what's crazy to me is that, you know, mental illness has went at an all-time high since this whole COVID stuff, you know. Things just been like getting to people in the heads, you know, people are sitting alone, or people lost jobs, and people bills need to be paid, and people stressed, and you know, just a whole bunch of things that's in our lives that like distracts us and that gets us down. But before we get started, you know, I just want to let y'all know, I want to give a shout out to Anchor. Anchor is such an amazing app. You know, if you ever want to make a podcast or start it, like if you ever want to start a podcast, download Anchor. 100% download Anchor. Anchor, they're your first sponsors. They give you the tools and everything that you need to get your podcast up and running. Not only that they give you that, they also pay you. And which, like, I mean, come on, man, we all want money. But, oh, just by saying, you know, I can't express this enough. Doing something that you love to do and getting paid for it is such an amazing feeling. I'm not even gonna lie. My mom always told me, she always told me, son, if you do something that you hate, you're just gonna go to work hating your life every day, getting miserable, wondering why, and feeling like you have no purpose. But when you do something that you love, well, hell, you won't even realize it, but by the time you look back at your bank account, you'll be already past an amount that you set for yourself to make. And hey, I mean, let's face the facts, that is true, you know, so much truth behind that. But anyway, Anchor, great app to start off with when you want to start a podcast. They sponsor you, they publish you, they push your stuff out there, they do everything that they possibly can to help you and to help you succeed. And you know, me personally, for the people who are going to be listening in, I thank you so much. I deeply thank you for the support. And even if you don't like it and you don't continue to keep listening, I still thank you and God bless you. You know, my stuff is based on, like I said, it's true stories. It's going to be true stories about my life, the things that I've dealt with mentally and the things that I went through in my life that I had to face head on, because fear is like our number one killer, right? Our fear stops us from doing things. Our fear stops us for going for something that we want, you know? Before I continue, I want to give another shout out to my homeboy, Ephraim. He's like my brother, my best friend. He's starting a podcast. His stuff is called Breaking Generational Curses, you know? And not saying that it's like aiming towards, you know, like community, but let's say it's aiming towards the people who haven't been taught the things that we should have been taught as a kid. You know, for me, I grew up in a home of six other siblings with a single parent, and I mean, if you want to include my grandma, but half the time, you know, she couldn't be there because of health issues. But my mom, she constantly worked. She never had time to raise seven kids, teach them in the proper way, you know. So I had a lot of negative influence in me, all around me, as to say, and I never got that proper teaching about, you know, savings account, about loans, about investing, about doing things, you know, that you love, and not to be, you know, a follower, just, you know, it's just things that we don't get taught, that some kids don't get taught at an age. And the reason why I say Black community is the reason why I grew up in that community, and it's a lot of other kids who are like me who don't get taught, you know, because, you know, we all have this like image, you know, of what it means to be a man. But I mean, really, do we actually really know what it means to be a man, besides what, you know, society had told us to be a man, or the environment had told us what it means to be a man? But another topic, I mean, another story for another time. But so I'm gonna kick this off, and I'm gonna just let y'all know again, my name is Kevin Griffith, and you're tuning in to The True Stories, the beginning of something new, something great. All right, so first of all, something I want to like touch on, it's this book that I've been reading, and the book is called Still Breathing. Well, it's not called Still Breathing, but it's a quote that's still breathing. But the name of the book is The Wisdom and Teaching of a Perfectly Flawed Man. And that's just crazy, you know, perfectly flawed, you know, perfect imperfection. And it's this one thing that he said to me that like kind of stuck out. And I don't know why I'm touching on this, because I mean, I just feel like I should touch on it. Just simple fact that like it's pretty crazy. So, and it's a dope, crazy book, because like, let me say, you know, this guy, man, his name is called Brendan Dilley, and this dude, he keeps it straight, like, G, he keeps it straight, G, like, he doesn't sugarcoat anything, and that's what I'm aiming towards, and like, what I'm going to do in my podcast, and hopefully the individuals that I bring on here keep it, you know, real, and tell people, you know, the things that they dealt with, and how, and keep it, you don't have to, it's going to be specific, you know. It's going to be, well, not too deep specific, but it's going to be specific. It's going to touch on things that probably make you upset, but you continue to listen. I promise you, you're going to see how I found the way out, how I found hope, how others found hope, how others found the light at the other side, at the end of the tunnel. But anyway, he says, the chapter of it is called Grown Folk Talk. And then it goes, the bitch slap you need to move forward in your life. It says, I'm feeling like quite the cheeky bastard today. So I'm thinking we'll discuss some difficult life subjects with a sense of honesty and candor that can only be provided while residing safely in the trust tree. With this chapter, I hope to provoke some thoughts on subjects that are normally handled with kitty gloves. With kitty gloves. I'm sorry. Please don't mind my reading. You know, I'm reading, looking like, sounding like I'm reading at a fourth grade level. I promise you, I am not stupid. I promise you, I know what I'm talking about. But, I mean, what did he mean by that? You know, I'm feeling like quite the cheeky bastard today. So I'm thinking we'll discuss some difficult life subjects with a sense of honesty and the candor that can only be provided while residing safely in the trust tree. With this chapter, I hope to provoke some thoughts on subjects that are normally handled with the kitty gloves. Kitty gloves. What is kitty gloves? And you know, I'm not going to read this whole chapter. I promise you. Just listen to me. Bear with me. As I write this, cheating season is upon us. For whatever reason, it has always seemed that many people lose all sense of morality from mid-May through September. Every summer, I'm undated I'm inundated with the same impossible questions, such as, I think she's cheating on me. What should I do, bro? Or, we're fighting constantly and he won't have sex with me anymore. What should I do? To the first question, dump her. To the second question, dump him. I'm not sure what the infatuation is with making it work, but that might just be the stupidest excuse for people choosing to remain in a codependent relationship that I've ever seen. Now, I have to feel like I have to read that again because I don't know if you actually heard me. And I know I probably messed up on a few words. Probably, but check this out. Don't judge me. No judging zone. It says, as I write this, cheating season is upon us. For whatever reason, it has always seemed that many people lose all sense of morality from mid-May through September. Every summer, I'm inundated with the same impossible questions, such as, I think she's cheating on me. What should I do, bro? Or, we're fighting constantly, and he won't have sex with me anymore. What should I do? To the first question, dump her. To the second question, dump him. I'm not sure what the infatuation is with making it work, but that might just be the stupidest excuse for people choosing to remain in a codependent relationship that I ever seen. So, saying that, codependency, people who have issues with people constantly living their life, whether it's by death, whether it's by them cheating on them. We all have codependency issues. Some have it to a high extent, some maybe not have it to no extent. But the ones that do have it to a high extent, it's hard. It's coming from a person who used to be so codependent on a lot of people, and my reasons is just because, like, I felt unwanted as a child, and growing up I felt unwanted because I always wanted a father figure around me to teach me things, you know, that, you know, my brothers had to teach me or others had to teach me. My mom, you know, not saying that she didn't love us dearly, she loved us with all her heart, but she had to do what she had to do to keep food on the table. I didn't feel much as love, so I went out and I always kept chasing and wondering why I catch on or linger on to people and don't want to let go. And that's not even just with girlfriend relationships, it's with friendships, you know. I always needed somebody there, and I come to realize that I truly don't need nobody there, you know. Like, yes, it's good to have support and it's good to have people in your life and to share magical moments with and stuff like that, but there's a word that's called boundaries. It does exist, and I had to learn how to set those and put those in motion for myself because I had no boundaries. I continued to let people run over, and I kept on doing the most with people and trying to prove myself, trying to over exceed myself for that person's needs, you know. And It never made sense to me. I always wonder why my heart kept hurting. I always wonder why I kept getting left. Whether I even, like, people that died that I was close to, I blame whoever for them leaving me, you know. And the reason why I say whoever, I'm not going to put their names out. Just my grandma here, she was my second mom, and I was mad at her for leaving. You know, I was upset because, you know, she was the only woman to, you know, believe in me, that know that I was meant for something great, you know. And again, in another episode, I explain more about my life. For the first few episodes, it's just going to be me. And then eventually, you know, I'm going to get more people on here to tell, you know, their stories and things that they deal with. But yeah, I was so codependent. I always need somebody there. That's why I have so many, like, failed relationships with women, because I become so codependent on them. I suffocate them because I never want them to leave my side. I always felt like they were leaving or that they will leave, you know. Like, it's the same thing. And it's just, you know, it was just crazy to me. And, you know, I had to sit down and, like, I had to really realize, like, ask myself, why are you so codependent on these people, you know? Why are you always relying on somebody? And it took 5 years of, well, really 2 years of me being by myself, because out of those five, I was with somebody, but two, you know, yeah, two by myself. I mean, I was fluctuating through, you know, like I said, this is true story. I'm keeping a G. I was fluctuating through to, like, I was, like, you know, going back and forth through people, you know, because I always needed somebody there. I always needed somebody there. And when I don't, you know, I need myself. I need God first and foremost, and I need myself. Because how can I help somebody if I can't help myself? How can I do this podcast and tell y'all things that helps me and things that I overcame and be an example, if yet I'm still doing it, you know? I can't tell you how to fly a plane if I ain't never been in it, you know? Like, well, in a cockpit, let me say it like that. I can't tell you how to fly a plane if I never been in a cockpit, you know? But, so, again, codependency, something that people have to work on, something that everybody, I feel, should have to work on, you know? And then when you're married, you know, yes, you know, you're codependent. That's marriage, you know? You're, that's something, somebody you rely on, that's somebody you depend on. Y'all both share accounts, kids, like, you know, bills, you know? That's understandable, but there's also boundaries in codependency and for marriage and marriages. You know, you also got to have your own life. You also have to have your own friends, your set of friends, you know. It's all fine and dandy to do everything together, but you also still have to have your own life. You have to build your own, like, empire to where both of y'all can put your empire together, but yet still run it on your own. But, yeah. So I touched a little bit on that. I just wanted to, like, talk about that because that really struck me. That kind of really struck me deep. But I really like it. Like I said, we getting it on. We getting it on. I'm sorry, y'all. I just read something. So, I'm sorry. It was something important. Again, Anchor, doing this thing, you know. Anchor sending me, you know, talking about sending my stuff on Spotify, stuff like that. So, you know, it's exciting. Again, shout out to Anchor. You know, this is happening. This is the beginning. And I hope that y'all tune in to the next episode. The next episode will be longer. I won't take too much of your time. It will be about 30 minutes. I won't try to, you know, have you just listen to me talk all day. But again, thank you for listening. My name is Kevin Griffith. I'm out, yo. Bye. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How y'all doing? My name is Kevin Griffith, and you're now tuning in to my podcast, True Story. This is the beginning of something great, something amazing. Something amazing for me, something, a new start, something that I'm going to commit to. Because, you know, we all procrastinate on some things that, you know, we want to do or some things that we want to jump to do. And we get so excited and so motivated about doing it. But then when that crunch time comes, we lose that motivation. But this is something that I'm passionate about, helping people and trying to give people my life story and others' life stories and how they came about and surpassed those depressions, those dark moments, you know, because mainly what I'm focused towards is like what I hope for my audience to be where I'm really aiming towards everybody, because everybody deals with depression, whether it's small or big, PTSD, bipolar, ADHD, anxiety. You know, my podcast is going to be about, you know, real life stories of people who dealt with those on their everyday life and the things that they do to cope with it, what helps them to continue to live a normal life. But I mean, let's face it, 2020 hasn't really been that normal for us at all. Like, it's crazy, you know. Rest in peace to Kobe, Nipsey Hussle, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, man. Rest in peace to you. It's been a tough year, but you know what? We're all gonna pull through it. You know what's crazy to me is that, you know, mental illness has went at an all-time high since this whole COVID stuff, you know. Things just been, like, getting to people in the heads, you know. People are sitting alone, or people lost jobs, and people bills need to be paid, and people stressing, and, you know, just a whole bunch of things that's in our lives that, like, distracts us and that gets us down. But before we get started, you know, I just want to let y'all know, I want to give a shout out to Anchor. Anchor is such an amazing app. You know, if you ever want to make a podcast or start it, like, if you ever want to start a podcast, download Anchor. 100% download Anchor. Anchor, they're your first sponsors. They give you the tools and everything that you need to get your podcast up and running. Not only that they give you that, they also pay you. And which, like, I mean, come on, man, we all want money. But oh, just by saying, you know, I can't express this enough. Doing something that you love to do and getting paid for it is such an amazing feeling. I'm not even gonna lie. My mom always told me, she always told me, son, if you do something that you hate, you're just gonna go to work hating your life every day, getting miserable, wondering why, and feeling like you have no purpose. But when you do something that you love, well, hell, you won't even realize it, but by the time you look back at your bank account, you'll be already past an amount that you set for yourself to make. And hey, I mean, let's face the facts, that is true, you know, so much truth behind that. But anyway, Anchor, great app to start off with when you want to start a podcast. They sponsor you, they publish you, they push your stuff out there, they do everything that they possibly can to help you and to help you succeed. And, you know, me personally, for the people who are going to be listening in, I thank you so much. I deeply thank you for the support. And even if you don't like it and you don't continue to keep listening, I still thank you and God bless you. You know, what my stuff is based on, and like I said, it's true stories. It's going to be true stories about my life, the things that I've dealt with mentally and the things that I went through in my life that I had to face head on, because fear is like our number one killer, right? Our fear stops us from doing things. Our fear stops us for going for something that we want, you know. Before I continue, I want to give another shout out to my homeboy Ephraim. He's like my brother, my best friend. He's starting a podcast. His stuff is called Breaking Generational Curses, you know, and not saying that it's like aiming towards, you know, like community, but let's say it's aiming towards the people who haven't been taught the things that we should have been taught as a kid. You know, for me, I grew up in a home of six other siblings with a single parent, and I mean, if you want to include my grandma, but half the time, you know, she couldn't be there because of health issues. But my mom, she constantly worked. She never had time to raise seven kids, teach them in the proper way, you know. So I had a lot of negative influence in me, all around me, as to say, and I never got that proper teaching about, you know, savings account, about loans, about investing, about doing things, you know, that you love, and not to be, you know, a follower, just, you know, it's just things that we don't get taught, that some kids don't get taught at an age. And the reason why I say black community is the reason why I grew up in that community, and it's a lot of other kids who are like me who don't get taught, you know, because, you know, we all have this like image, you know, of what it means to be a man. But I mean, really, do we actually really know what it means to be a man besides what, you know, society had told us to be a man, or the environment had told us what it means to be a man? But another story for another time. But so I'm gonna kick this off, and I'm gonna just let y'all know again, my name is Kevin Griffith, and you're tuning in to the True Stories, the beginning of something new, something great. All right, so first of all, something I want to like touch on, it's this book that I've been reading, and the book is called Still Breathing Well, it's not called Still Breathing, but it's a quote that's still breathing. But the name of the book is The Wisdom and Teaching of a Perfectly Flawed Man. And that's just crazy, you know, perfectly flawed, you know, perfect imperfection. And it's this one thing that he said to me that like kind of stuck out. And I don't know why I'm touching on this, because I mean, I just feel like I should touch on it. Just simple fact that like it's pretty crazy. So, and it's a dope crazy book, because like let me say, you know, it's this guy, man, his name is called Brendan Dilley, and this dude, he keeps it straight, like G, he keeps it straight G, like he doesn't sugarcoat anything. And that's what I'm aiming towards, and like what I'm going to do in my podcast. And hopefully the individuals that I bring on here keep it, you know, real and tell people, you know, the things that they dealt with, and how, and keep it, you don't have to, it's going to be specific, you know. It's going to be, well, not too deep specific, but it's going to be specific. It's going to touch on things that probably make you upset, but you continue to listen. I promise you, you're going to see how I found the way out, how I found hope, how others found hope, how others found the light at the other side, at the end of the tunnel. But anyway, he says, the chapter of it is called Grown Folk Talk. And then it goes, the bitch slap you need to move forward in your life. It says, I'm feeling like quite the cheeky bastard today. So I'm thinking we'll discuss some difficult life subjects with a sense of honesty and candor that can only be provided while residing safely in the trust tree. With this chapter, I hope to provoke some thoughts on subjects that are normally handled with kitty gloves. With kitty gloves. I'm sorry. Please don't mind my reading. You know, I'm reading, looking like, sounding like I'm reading at a fourth grade level. I promise you, I am not stupid. I promise you, I know what I'm talking about. But, I mean, what did he mean by that? You know, I'm feeling like quite the cheeky bastard today. So I'm thinking we'll discuss some difficult life subjects with a sense of honesty and the candor that can only be provided while residing safely in the trust tree. With this chapter, I hope to provoke some thoughts on subjects that are normally handled with the kitty gloves. Kitty gloves. What is kitty gloves? And you know, I'm not going to read this whole chapter. I promise you. Just listen to me. Bear with me. As I write this, cheating season is upon us. For whatever reason, it has always seemed that many people lose all sense of morality from mid-May through September. Every summer, I'm inundated with the same impossible questions, such as, I think she's cheating on me. What should I do, bro? Or, we're fighting constantly and he won't have sex with me anymore. What should I do? To the first question, dump her. To the second question, dump him. I'm not sure what the infatuation is with making it work, but that might just be the stupidest excuse for people choosing to remain in a codependent relationship that I've ever seen. Now, I have to feel like I have to read that again, because I don't know if you actually heard me. And I know I probably messed up on a few words. Probably, but check this out. Don't judge me. No judging zone. It says, as I write this, cheating season is upon us. For whatever reason, it has always seemed that many people lose all sense of morality from mid-May through September. Every summer, I'm inundated with the same impossible questions, such as, I think she's cheating on me. What should I do, bro? Or, we're fighting constantly and he won't have sex with me anymore. What should I do? To the first question, dump her. To the second question, dump him. I'm not sure what the infatuation is with making it work, but that might just be the stupidest excuse for people choosing to remain in a codependent relationship that I ever seen. So, saying that, codependency, people who have issues with people constantly living their life, whether it's by death, whether it's by them cheating on them, we all have codependency issues. Some have it to a high extent, some maybe not have it to no extent, but the ones that do have it to a high extent, it's hard. It's coming from a person who used to be so codependent on a lot of people. And my reasons is just because, like, I felt unwanted as a child. And growing up, I felt unwanted because I always wanted a father figure around me to teach me things, you know, that, you know, my brothers had to teach me or others had to teach me. My mom, you know, not saying that she didn't love us dearly. She loved us with all her heart, but she had to do what she had to do to keep food on the table. I didn't feel much as love. So I went out and I always kept chasing and chasing and chasing and wondering why I catch on or linger on to people and don't want to let go. And that's not even just with like with girlfriend relationships, it's with friendships. You know, I always needed somebody there, and I come to realize that I truly don't need nobody there. You know, like, yes, it's good to have support and it's good to have people in your life and to share magical moments with and stuff like that. But there's a word that's called boundaries. It does exist. And I had to learn how to set those and put those in motion for myself because I had no boundaries. I continued to let people run over and I kept on doing the most with people and trying to prove myself, trying to overexceed myself for that person's needs, you know. And it never made sense to me. I always wonder why my heart kept hurting. I always wonder why I kept getting left. Whether I even like people that died that I was close to, I blame whoever for them leaving me, you know. And the reason why I say whoever, I'm not going to put their names out. Just my grandma here, she was my second mom, and I was mad at her for leaving, you know. I was upset because, you know, she was the only woman to, you know, believe in me, that know that I was meant for something great, you know. And again, in another episode, I explain more about my life. For the first few episodes, it's just going to be me. And then eventually, you know, I'm going to get more people on here to tell, you know, their stories and things that they deal with. But yeah, I was so codependent. I always need somebody there. That's why I have so many, like, failed relationships with women, because I become so codependent on them. I suffocate them because I never want them to leave my side. I always felt like they were leaving or that they will leave, you know, like it's the same thing. And it's just, you know, it was just crazy to me. And, you know, I had to sit down and, like, I had to really realize, like, ask myself, why are you so codependent on these people? You know, why are you always relying on somebody? And it took 5 years of, well, really 2 years of me being by myself, because out of those five, I was with somebody, but two, you know, yeah, two by myself. I mean, I was fluctuating through, you know, like I said, this is true story. I'm keeping it G. I was fluctuating through to, like, I was, like, you know, going back and forth through people, you know, because I always needed somebody there. I always needed somebody there. And when I don't, you know, I need myself. I need God first and foremost, and I need myself. Because how can I help somebody if I can't help myself? How can I do this podcast and tell y'all things that helps me and things that I overcame and be an example, if yet I'm still doing it, you know? I can't tell you how to fly a plane if I ain't never been in it, you know? Like, well, in a cockpit, let me say it like that. I can't tell you how to fly a plane if I never been in a cockpit. You know? But so again, codependency, something that people have to work on, something that everybody, I feel, should have to work on, you know. And then when you're married, you know, yes, you know, you're codependent. That's marriage, you know. You're that's something, somebody you rely on, that's somebody you depend on. Y'all both share accounts, kids, like, you know, bills, you know. That's understandable, but there's also boundaries in codependency and for marriage and marriages. You know, you also got to have your own life. You also have to have your own friends, your set of friends, you know. It's all fine and dandy to do everything together, but you also still have to have your own life. You have to build your own, like, empire to where both of y'all can put your empire together, but yet still run it on your own. But, yeah, So I touched a little bit on that. I just wanted to like talk about that because that really struck me. That kind of really struck me deep. But I really like it. Like I said, we getting it on. We getting it on. I'm sorry, y'all. I just read something. So, I'm sorry. It was something important. Again, Anchor, doing this thing, you know. Anchor sending me, you know, talking about sending my stuff on Spotify and stuff like that. So, you know, it's exciting. Again, shout out to Anchor. You know, this is happening. This is the beginning. And I hope that y'all tune in to the next episode. The next episode will be longer. I won't take too much of your time. It will be about 30 minutes. I won't try to, you know, have you just listen to me talk all day. But again, thank you for listening. My name is Kevin Griffith. I'm out, yo. Bye. Say something, I'm giving up on you. And I'm feeling so small. It was over my head. I'm nothing at all. Yo, 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 what it do, what it do, what it do, what it do, baby? It's your boy Kevin Griffith, you know, back to the podcast, back to the beginning, back to true stories, true stories. I know y'all probably like, look like, damn, this nigga in his emotional feelings or something like that, you know, like, but nah, I'm not. Only reason why I played this song because it touches on something that I talked about, first episode a little bit when I touched on a little bit about codependency, and I just want to continue that real quick because after that episode I got to thinking, like, damn, I was codependent on motherfucker a lot, 100% a lot. But you know, you live and you learn, you live and you learn, you live and you learn. But that song by Laura D, great song, not gonna lie. Just the words in it, you know, to me personally, like, if that's not codependency, then, like, I don't know what is, because even though, like, it's a love song and it's about somebody giving up on somebody but not really wanting to give up on that person, you know, like, that's just, that's codependent. But I want to, like, hit. I was reading this book, the book that I was telling y'all about by Brendan Dilley, you know, The Wisdom and Teachings of a Perfectly Flawed Man. I wanted to talk about that. But before I hop right in, I want to give a shout out to Anchor. Again, Anchor, great app to download if you want to start a podcast. They give you the tools, they give you the things that you need to start your podcast and publish your stuff and put it out there. I mean, you have to put in the work in too as well, because they can only just put your stuff on, you know, name brand like Spotify, Apple, other podcast apps and stuff. But you have to be the one to share it, you know, put it out there, let the people know, you know, and do not lose any motivation, because it may seem like it may not go anywhere, but that's how all things start off. When you start doing something new, it may seem like it may never work, or you're just going to fail at it. But don't believe that, because you have a failure mentality, then you're just going to continue to have a failure mentality. But anyway, yeah, shout out to Anchor. Those are the guys y'all need to check out. Those are the guys y'all need to holler at. But anyway, I got my brother DJ on here. You know, I don't even know why I just pointed at the screen. Not like you can see him and not like I'm recording myself. But he's on video chat. He's in Texas. You know, back home. This is like the perfect person that I know for a fact. Like even when I had the idea, the thought of starting a podcast, of getting this person on, just because like this man experienced pain, you know, beyond measures, you know, just as like we all, but you know, everybody's situation and pain is different and the people experiencing them in a different way. But I'm gonna get DJ on and let him tell you a little bit about himself, you know. Hey, DJ. Go ahead and tell the people about yourself.
My bad, man. I'm just waking up. Told this motherfucker to do this shit
late. Told your ass to wake up, bro. He said you go do it.
Trying to make it like everybody else, man.
Real talk. What you do for work, DJ?
Honestly, nothing. Nah, I work at TA, man. I just do whatever they ask me to do. Sometimes pressure wash. Sometimes I clean the pump. Sometimes I'm taking that trash. It just depends on what they need me to do that day.
Real talk, man. You like your job? Do you love your job?
Boy, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's my brother right there. Yo, man, we've been... Listen, this is the crazy part about it. Y'all won't know, but check this out. Me and DJ, yo, we... You might as well say we've been boys since sixth grade, but, like, we went to the same school in sixth grade. But we didn't get to know each other until freshman year. But I swear to God, you would think we grew up together. I swear to you. Like, and then it was crazy how it happened because our other brother, Quayle, you know, me, him, and Quayle, like, we all went to the same school. And then him and Quayle knew each other before me and DJ met. And I just think, yo, and we just been brothers ever since. We went through ups and downs and losses and... Shit, man, we went through a lot of shit individually and as a group. But so today, you know, like I said, I'm talking, I want to like touch on like the codependency, you know what I'm saying? I want to talk about that because like I said, like ever since like after the first episode and I got thinking more and more about it, you know. And again, I apologize, I know the first episode probably like not caught your interest, but you know, it is what it is. But check this out, I want to touch on it. And like I said about this book by Brendan Dilley, says a lot of great things, and it's a really great book. You should definitely go check him out. Go get the book. You know, the book probably been came out, but me, I'm just now, you know, getting the book and reading it. But so yeah, codependency. The stuff is just, hold on, I kind of messed up on my chapter real quick. Y'all give me a second so I can actually talk about this because I lost it. Thought I had it bookmarked. It's really a good book. Hold on. Give me a second. Bear with me. Kind of losing y'all. Real quick. Not next. Actually, this next, that chapter is a good chapter. It's called Next. Yo, I definitely have to check out this book. While I'm looking for this chapter, DJ... Go ahead, you want to... Oh, never mind. I found that too quick. I know, I swear, DJ, people probably on that listen to this going to be on the other end like, yo, what is this nigga? Is he serious? But check this out. It's real. It's authentic. It's a podcast. It's just me talking, and it's me venting, and it's other people who be coming on here and venting and tell y'all, like, true stories and real shit, you know? And then, like, how we deal with it and how... We're able to cope with it and keep moving forward, with our lives, you know, no matter what we go through, you know, because God brings us through all. And if you don't believe in God, then something brings you through all, you know. And I was always taught to just believe in something bigger than you, which for me is God, you know. Again, I'm not pushing religion on anybody. I'm just talking about my belief. But anyway, so this chapter is called Grown Folk Talk. And like this guy, he keeps it straight forward, like straight G in it. And he talks, he goes, the bitch slap you need to move forward in life. Which I think that's just so funny, because some people out here do need to be bitch slapped sometimes. But yeah, so he goes, I'm feeling like quite the cheeky bastard today. So I'm thinking we'll discuss some difficult life subjects with a sense of honesty and candor that can only be provided while residing safely in the trust tree. With this chapter, I hope to provoke some thought on subjects that are normally handled with kitty gloves. As I write this, cheating season is upon us. For whatever reason, it has always seemed that many people lose all sense of morality from mid-May through September. Every summer, I'm inundated with the same impossible questions, such as, I think she's cheating on me. What should I do, bro? Or, we're fighting constantly and he won't have sex with me anymore. What should I do? To the first question, dump her. To the second question, dump him. I'm not sure what the infatuation is with making it work, but that might just be the stupidest excuse for people choosing to remain in a codependent relationship that I ever seen. If that shit, bro, I feel like that nigga spoke straight truth. And it's just what he said, like, it's the most stupidest excuse to stay with somebody if you're constantly fighting, constantly getting hurt. You know, like, I get, you know, love is a strong thing, but I think codependency is stronger than love, because I feel like, you know how people confuse lust and love, I feel like sometimes people confuse codependent and love. You know, like, how you might think, you might be infatuated there, like, with that person, but most of the time you're not really in love, unless, you know, like, you're just not really in love. Like, and I can, for me, and
you're in love with the need of
them. Exactly. Thank you. Like my brother said, you're in love with the need of them. You're not in love with that person, with their smile, with their personality, with all that. Like, you need them. And with that, you're in codependent. You're codependent on that person. So, like, you might think that I don't know what I'm talking about. So here, I give you a little bit of my personal experience. So I was living in South Florida before I moved up here up north. And I was with the girl. Her name was Nikki. And we got together. And, you know, I tell the truth. Like I said, it's a true story. She was in recovery. And I remind you, I had no idea about, you know, recovery. I had no idea about addicts, or, you know, like, alcoholics, yes. Addicts such as, I never was close to somebody, let alone I not once, I never touched dope, but I have, you know, I did, you know, play around, you know, with the Molly or two Munos and a little cocaine, again, keeping it G, but never, like, Fathom or anything of that, you know. But yeah, she was in recovery, and I was 22 when I met her, and she was 31, and I completely fell in love with this woman. And then y'all like, yo, you 22 and she was 31. Nah, bro, if you were, I'm not gonna, like, she was a beautiful woman, 100%, like, Portuguese, beautiful woman. She just had a lot of things she struggled with, which was, one of them was recovery. But anyway, she was clean when I met her, and yeah, things was great for the first year. And then she relapsed on my birthday, on my 23rd birthday. And she overdosed, you know. Like, thank God, like, she didn't die, because I hurry up and rushed her to the hospital as fast as I could. But, like, she overdosed, you know, like, right there with me, like, next to her. And I did, like, I made sure one of our friends, he drove while I stayed in the back seat, you know, trying to keep, like, waking her up, and, like, keeping her up. But, you know, I did the best that I could, and, but thank God for doctors, and thank God for Narcan to be able to bring her back. But I was already so in love with her, but I didn't even know the fact that I was being manipulated through the whole thing. Not saying that she didn't put a gun to my head and force me to do anything. It just, I was so in love with her. What I thought, I was so in love with her. Because again, I'm going to keep it G. Like, I was not like the best boyfriend at all. Because, you know, like, I had other women that wanted to get with me. But the fact of it is that, like, I just didn't want to, like, do anything with those other women, just because, like, I didn't want Nikki to go out and do something that I did, that I thought about doing, put it that way. I didn't want her to do that. But anyway, I started becoming codependent on Nikki, as she was, like, doing all these things for me. You know, she was, you know, she bought me cigarettes when I needed. She got me food when I needed. She always let me use the car. She always just did every little thing, as long as I allowed her, as long as I didn't say much about her, you know, dipping and dabbing into the drugs, because, you know, I didn't know anything about it. Like I said, when that happened on my birthday, it was at that day, I can say, like, right there, that day. How about, let me say, January 21st, because my birthday is January 20th. January 21st, that day, something in her mind awoke. And again, like I said, I didn't know anything about recovery or addiction. But I did everything I possibly could, because she would cry and she will act out if she couldn't get that, or if I, like put up an argument of thinking, like, oh, why did you really need that or whatever. And I would do everything that I possibly could to, like, make her happy, for her not to leave me, for her to stay with me and whatnot. And at first, here, I will rewind back 2 seconds. At first, I was in love with her. But then after that day of my birthday, that love became codependent. Because after that day, I fully put my focus on her. So I didn't want to leave the house if she wasn't right there on my side, unless I was dropping her off at work, because I knew where she was at. Like, and then you can say, well, Kevin, that's like more like controlling too. Well, no, it wasn't controlling. I was so scared that somebody else will come get her, or she, again, leave. I relied on her. I depended on her. And, but yeah, so we went through this whole thing, and, like, that was the only person that I knew. I woke up to her. I went to sleep to her. I pick her up from work, and then we go, you know, do our thing or whatever. And It was just so toxic. The whole thing was just so toxic. And, like, the day that, like, we left each other, and the day that, here, let me put it like this. She manipulated me to the fact to think that we were going to be back together. And, again, like I said, I relied on her. I depended on her on everything. So everything she said that we had to do, just in order to have a good life and a healthy relationship, I was all for it. I was right there ready to do it, just so we can be that dream that she put in my head that we were going to have. But I'm not going to cut it short, but just to say that, like, she had got pregnant by another dude, had the baby on my birthday, which is also insane too. But I held on to that dream. Like, oh, I'm doing this for her. Oh, I'm doing this so we can have a life together. Oh, I'm doing this, you know. And the whole time, I should have been doing it for me. I shouldn't depend on myself. I shouldn't, and God, I shouldn't depend on nobody else. Because in the long run, that ended up hurting me, like her actions and what she did. But I ended up hurting myself because I held on to that because I wasn't in love anymore, you know? I was infatuated, as my brother DJ said, and as Brendan Dilley said, like he couldn't understand the infatuation people have on trying to quote unquote make it work. And in my head, I wanted to make it work. So I was willing to do any and everything for us to stay together and to make it work, you know? You know what I'm saying, DJ? Like this shit crazy. Like, can't you relate to that shit?
Man, bro, like you say, man, I'm gonna keep it real. You know what I'm saying? I had made a situation a couple years ago. I dipped in drugs only to, and it wasn't that bad. It's pills. It's the worst thing I've did. But you know, it was to the point where I was up to 20 pills a day, killing myself for somebody that I thought I was in love with. Like I said, the need of her being around, me scared to be alone. And like my brother, it ended up hurting me in the long run. Like bad. I'm good now, I'm clean, I haven't touched a drug in I don't know how long. But it's just, man, yeah, I feel you, man.
Congrats, my brother. Congrats. You know, like you hear him. This is true shit. This is real story.
I just was killing myself to please somebody else. If that makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Why did you feel like you needed that person, DJ?
Honestly, because she was beautiful. Yeah, I didn't want nobody else to have her. Shit, I'm keeping cheap.
Real talk. I feel you. That's the same way with me. That's how I thought of with Nikki, man. She was beautiful and I didn't want nobody else.
I literally did any and everything to keep her. And like you said, like when she was away from me, it was just all kind of thoughts running through my head. Yes, the drugs probably played a part in that, but I just had to get her back under me, so I would do crazy shit, like text her some crazy shit, so she'd leave work and have to come home, like just stupid shit, man. And it's all because of the codependence. Don't get me wrong, I love the girl too. I still do to this day. I'm not gonna give no names, but yeah, I still love the girl to this day. I'm stupid across this. I'm sorry. As a man, I'm sorry. And I hope you're enjoying your life, man. I really do. But yeah, man, it was just the codependence, man. I was killing myself to keep her. Yeah, man.
Boy, ain't that the fucking truth. That's deep, DJ. 100%. Damn, man. Like, I feel that every word.
Literally killing myself to keep her. I'm surprised I didn't OD, man. 20 pills a day? Come on, man.
That's fucking...
That's a lot, bro.
That's a lot.
And it wasn't... I didn't really get addicted to this shit till maybe a year after I started doing it. I was really doing it to keep her, you know. I don't know.
Nah, you know, bro, I relate so much because like with my ex, like I didn't touch, because she was doing dope, and like I didn't touch that stuff until like our last year together, because then I was like, you know, well, fuck it, if she loves this drug so much, let me start doing it, and then maybe she'll love me, you know, like maybe then, you know, she will sit there and give me everything that she gives this drug. But the whole time, the drug was her first love. I wasn't. And I hurt it myself through that, you know? Like, I hurt it myself in the process of trying to please somebody else and make somebody else
stay and see my worth and see that I'm like the only person for them when we weren't right for each other from the start. But now for me, I know I had to go through that. Like, I really had to go through that because I didn't know anything about codependency. And then when I went through that, I started thinking about every person that I encountered in my life that I latched onto and always felt hurt or some type of way when, like, something happened or getting in an argument or that person walks away or I no longer speak to that person no more. Like, you know, I felt fucked up about it for, like, not the way how with Nikki, but for a few days, I'd be fucked up about it for a few days and then, like, I'd brush it off and then keep it moving, you know? And because, like, codependency isn't just with, you know, relationships, with girlfriends or boyfriends. Like, codependency is also in friendships. Codependency is also with, you know, somebody in, like, just somebody in your life, you know, that you depend on so much that you feel that if that person leaves, the world is all over. Like, your world just shattered. That, like, you no longer have a purpose. When that's not it at all. That is because you have a purpose. We all have a purpose, you know. And I don't know if you know it now. I don't think we'll never know, like, what our purpose. We may feel what our purpose is to do and act on it, but I don't think we'll never know what our purpose in life was meant for until we see a great God. That's what I think. What you think, DJ?
Man,
nigga.
I honestly don't know. That's a good question, man. You might be right. No one truly knows their purpose, and the only one who knows, I mean, like, I come from a spiritual family. All my grandfathers, my uncles, all of them are preachers,
mm-hmm.
You know. So you can find out your purpose, but you would have to live by the Bible, if that makes any sense.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. That was just like when we were talking about when that dude asked me, am I reading the Bible as a book? Like, as a story, or am I reading it for understanding?
Yeah.
You're right. Damn, man. What you got going today? On today? You let me ask that real quick, you know, before we keep continuing on.
Boss lady, I'm tired. I gotta go to work. Shit.
Yo, man.
Motherfucker, back hurt, man. She had me doing so much shit yesterday. God damn. I'm still hurt. nigga wanna call in and tell that motherfucker I got the coronavirus overnight. Shit.
I'm dead. Yeah, we was on the phone yesterday and I was doing like the recording or whatever and like all you hear is DJ in the background go, boss lady, I'm tired. Like, she acts, you hear her, she, hey, do this, hey, do that, hey.
I don't be playing shit. I'm gonna tell you, I need to sit my ass down. Nigga, there's 2,000 degrees out there, man. Come on, man.
Old ass. He ain't but 28, but he's still old.
Fucking back still hurt. I need me some Bengay. Now I know why my mama kept this shit on deck. I need this shit right now. So bullshit. Nigga, I feel like my shit tightening up already, and I ain't even at work yet.
Shit. That's
the fucked up part about it. Just think about it, make my muscles tighten up.
Shit, nigga, I got introduced to this shit called lidocaine. This is a patch. It's way better than Icy Hot. You put that shit on your back, DJ. I think you get it from CVS. Put that shit on your back. That shit goes away real quick. Like in 15 minutes, I want to say, you won't have any more back, but you won't feel that pain. I won't say you won't have any more back pain. You just won't feel that pain for that day. It lasts for 8 hours. I think it's great. I use it, you know, when my back hurts. And listen, I'm 27, but like, you know what I'm saying? So me and my brother over here talking about back problems. We ain't old. We getting there, but we ain't old.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, shit, yeah, man. That shit. Boss lady, I'm tired. But you know, we do what we got to do, you know, to provide for us, you know, for us and for our family. And, you know, 2020 has not been easy for anybody financially or anything, you know. We're just grateful that we, you know, still have jobs, that the good Lord still allows us to have jobs and pay our bills and then take care of our loved ones, you know.
All bullshit to the side, I thank God I ain't get shit done, and I pray for the people who did, because they're coronavirus, motherfucker, man. Whoever got shit down and listening, man, keep your head up. God got you. Just pray about it. It's going to get better. Like they say, it get greater later.
Facts, it gets greater later. It sure does. And for those that's on unemployment and living off of it, listen, I ain't knocking you, I ain't hating on you. Get what you need and do what you have to do to make sure that you can provide for yourself and your family. If you have kids, you know, just please don't just go out and use your unemployment just for like crazy stuff. You know what I'm saying? Take care of your responsibilities first before you go out and, you know, have fun with your unemployment money, you know. But I do deeply encourage that, you know, keep going out there and looking, because, you know, God gonna bless you with something. With a great job where you gonna have a steady income coming in. Just keep going, like my brother say, it'll get greater later. But so check this out, y'all. This is the end of the podcast. Again, your boy.
And before you end it, man.
What you got to say?
I just wanna give my insight on the business today. What I got out of it, man, is make sure when you're in a relationship, in a friendship, whatever. Whatever you do for them, man, just make sure it's truly for them and not for the code of business.
That's
what I got out of it, man.
Say it again.
If you're in a relationship, friendship, whatever, man, whatever you're doing for them, man, make sure it's truly for them and not for the need of them, should I say. That's what I got out of this message, man.
Real fucking shit. Like, real shit. That's crazy. And like, oh, that you said that, bro. Like, that's like, stop doing things just to receive something back. Stop expecting something. Stop doing something just to expect something. And boy, I'm glad. Yo, listen, y'all. I'm Kevin Griffith. This is my brother DJ. You want to go ahead and and we gonna keep talking. The next episode gonna be wild, cause I hope y'all like this episode. But next episode, man, he will be back on here, and it's gonna get deep. Like I said, the season one, the beginning, true stories. And I'm going to have other people come on and different people tell other stories. And then it may be the same people. You might just constantly hear my brother for the whole damn season. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? And my other brother, Quayle, he'll join us, you know. And shit, yo, just stay tuned. Stay listening. And I appreciate for those who listen, whether you cut it short at 5 minutes or cut it short at 20 minutes, whatever. I appreciate for you for taking the time out to hear what I had to say and hear what my brother had to say. But all well and all is well. I pray that y'all continue to have a blessed day, and I catch you later. Holla.